What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, everyone. It has been a hot minute. I am so excited to be back making weekly podcasts. I just wanted to hop in real quick before we get started and let you guys know that this video was filmed in advance. This was filmed almost a month ago now, before my miscarriage, before the coronavirus became a pandemic in the United States, before a lot of things. But I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. My brother and I talk a lot about our relationship growing up. We go in pretty deep talking about his anxiety, how he's coped with it, and his near-death experience that changed his life. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and we are getting totally back into things now with new episodes every Monday. So enjoy, and I will see you guys next Monday. Pop the popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas, and grab a drink, because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sierra Unfiltered. We have a very special and elusive guest today. This is my brother, Jordan.
Hello.
I think a lot of people don't know that you exist.
Yeah, I might be confused with the cousin.
Yeah. Everyone thinks my cousin, Carter, is actually my brother when I say I have two brothers, because Jordan doesn't like the internet.
That's not true. I actually love the internet. I don't like social media, and okay. I don't like having my business all over the internet.
Then why did you want to do the podcast?
I don't know. That'd be fun.
It is fun.
And Skylar's out, so I thought you need some guests.
I do. So I appreciate you stepping in. I was very surprised. We were at Disneyland for my birthday, and he was like, hey, what are you doing while Skylar's out? And I was like, oh, I'm going to have some guests in and Steven. And he's like, I'll do it. And I was like, I've been on the internet. Well, I've been doing social media for almost 5 years. 5 years this April. Mm-hmm. You have never, ever appeared in a video. Maybe the occasional vlog in the background.
I would say I'm in a few vlogs. You ask me a question here or there, but for the most part, I stay out of it.
Right.
I mean, you make it sound like I hate the internet, but it's just social media and being a part of your channel. I kind of just rather stay in the background.
Right. And that's why I was so surprised when you wanted to do this. So I'm excited you're here. Mm-hmm. My brother is one of my favorite people. He's one of my best friends. And so we're going to talk a lot about our childhood, what it was like growing up for us, his takes on social media. He has some takes on finances as well. He's very passionate about personal finance, retirement, all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And the first look at my elusive older brother, Jordan. Please don't do that. I am so sorry for our video podcast watchers. But, Jordan's fiance, Megan, is behind the camera as well doing some homework.
Yo!
Megan!
Hey!
I tried to get her to come on, and she was not having it. So, just Jordan. Mm. But, did you prepare a hot take?
I did.
Would you like me to go first, or would you like
Why
to go
first? Why don't
you go
first?
Okay. Well, first, what you drinking?
I am drinking the God's Milk water.
Fantastic. And I am drinking a DIY electrolyte drink that my dietitian recommended. It's like healthy Gatorade. So it's coconut water and pineapple juice and trace mineral.
I feel like that describes both of us pretty well.
Cheers.
I'm drinking water and you're drinking whatever the hell that was.
Do you want to try it?
Sure. You want to try mine?
I've never tried it before. Don't like
Ow.
It?
Yeah, those are just a whole bunch of weird flavors mm-hmm. together.
Yep. It's supposed to be really good for, like, after exercise or if you're, like, feeling sick or anything like that. Like, kind of like a refresh drink, so I've been enjoying it.
It does kind of taste like cough medicine, so I can see that.
I think it tastes more like Gatorade, but whatever. So my hot take is one that I hope that you will agree with. And this is kind of a childhood-related one. But my hot take is that there's nothing wrong with cutting the crust off of your sandwiches. I don't think
that's a hot take at all.
You don't think so? I remember in elementary school, Mom for like 3 years was like dead set on getting me to stop cutting the crust off my sandwiches. She was like, you're in third grade now. Just deal with it. You have to just eat the crust. Like, I'm not cutting the crust off anymore. And so I would peel the crust off myself because if I'm going to eat a sandwich, I want to enjoy it.
Well, do you still peel the crust off?
I don't really eat sandwiches. But if I was going to make a PB&J, I would absolutely peel the crust off.
Okay. I don't think that's a hot take. But you don't? I think that's more work than it's worth.
So do you cut the crust off your sandwiches?
No, but primarily because I'm lazy. I would rather just suffer through the crust than deal with getting a knife and cutting up all the crust.
So you just take the crust. You know what my favorite thing is?
I just take it.
Steven has a brother who they had a very similar age gap as Jordan and I. And Stephen was the older sibling, and he said that he was convinced until he was in his 20s that he liked the ends of bread because his mom would give them to him instead of Mikey because Mikey refused to eat them and just said, no, you like these. These are your favorite. And he was like, okay.
I feel like that goes with Stephen's personality. Right? Though. He's just kind of like, Yeah,
I really like the ends of bread. I remember he said that once, and I was like, no one likes the ends. And then he made a sandwich with the ends. He was like, yeah, this is really bad. I don't know why.
Like the last pieces?
Yes. Like a sandwich with just the last pieces. Isn't that not like the most Stephen thing
you've heard? It sounds like Stephen, yeah.
All right, what's your hot take?
My hot take is that social media is really damaging to people.
I
think a lot of times people are looking, you know, I see people spending hours scrolling through Instagram.
Right.
And they're looking at all these pictures of people like you who work really hard to make these awesome Instagram posts, but you put a lot of work into them.
Right.
And then they start comparing themselves and their pictures to people like you who do this for a living.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're comparing themselves to your highlight reel and it hurts their self-esteem.
But then what do you think about... Like, you know, I tend to be pretty open online and try not to make it just my highlight reel. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of other people who also try to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think social media sometimes can be damaging if all you're following is people who are Photoshopping and people who are just, my life is so great all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you're following people who are sharing all aspects of their life and you also are kind of feeling empty and you're struggling with different things and you see someone online who... is going through something similar, and maybe you don't have people in your real life who get it, I think that can actually be more helpful than harmful.
Absolutely, and that's a big reason why you've been successful, right? Is you can connect with people, and I think a lot of times, though, the biggest people on social media are the ones that are out there showing themselves in the Bahamas with their six-pack and completely paid for a vacation, and here's, you know, Joe Schmo who's going to work every day and scrolling through Instagram while he's on the toilet. It's like, wow. Why am I here and not there?
Right.
And I just think it's damaging to the self-esteem of a lot of people.
And I agree.
It depends on who you're following, and it depends on a lot. But by and large, I think that's what it is. And also, when it comes to like the news on social media, it's all negative stuff. The loudest people are the ones that are out there shouting about what's going on.
Right.
And it's always negative stuff.
So then... Do you think the solution to that is just don't be on social media? Or do you think the solution to that is follow people who you think are showing a more real take on life?
It's about following the right people and being on the right platforms.
So what do you think are the right platforms?
Well, I like Reddit.
I also like Reddit.
You know me. I'm on Reddit. I think it's great because you can just look at certain subreddits that you're interested in that appeal to you.
But I think there are absolutely toxic subreddits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are literally subreddits that are dedicated to being toxic.
Right.
That's their whole purpose.
Right. And so I don't think Reddit as a platform is necessarily above. I think if you find the right communities. Right.
It's about finding the right communities within
the platform. I really like r/wholesome memes.
Okay.
Or r/made my day.
Okay.
All very positive.
Okay.
All right. So Reddit you like.
Yep.
What else?
Not a fan of Instagram.
But you're on Instagram.
Yes. Mildly. I mean, I might look at it like once a month and then I'm like, I have like 50 messages in a group chat. I'm like, oh, I'll go through all of these.
Okay.
Snapchat I was on for a while. I mean, it was fun when that was a big thing and you could have all your little snap streaks with people, but you know, a lot of my friends got off that, and so lost interest.
Okay.
And I would say I'm not really on any other social media besides Reddit.
Which, so just Reddit.
Yeah. Which I contend is only partially a social media.
I would agree. But I think saying that all social media is toxic and bad.
I didn't say all. I said social media in general.
Social media in general. I disagree because I think my life has gotten so much better from social media.
Yeah.
And not just because it's my job, mm-hmm. but also because I've been able to connect with people. And every single time I go through my DMs, I see people who are saying that, you know, the content that they watch, whether it's me or my friend Carrie or my friend Loey or anyone who's kind of in that like more real body positive community, mm-hmm. they're saying, oh, I used to think this X way about my body. And then I started following these people and I feel so much better now. Mm-hmm. And I think social media offers an opportunity for change and for conversation that you don't always get in the traditional media.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, it's about who you follow, right? And a lot of times people may not even realize that social media is affecting them negatively.
Oh, yeah. It affects me negatively sometimes. Yeah. That's my job.
I remember, there are times where you post this video you're really excited about and all of a sudden there are negative comments on it. It's just like, sucks.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people don't realize that it's affecting them negatively. But, I mean, like we said, it comes down to who you follow and what you put in front of your face.
That's what a lot of people ask me, like, oh, you know, how do you become more confident or how do you become more positive? And I'm like, you have to look at not only the influences in your real life, but also in your online life. And I think, you know, a lot of people talk about cutting toxic people out of your life or, you know, distancing yourself from toxic relatives. But we don't really talk that much about, like, hey, this celebrity that you're following is kind of affecting your mental space negatively.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of YouTubers and celebrities who I just followed because I felt like it was good to stay in the loop.
Yeah.
And I realized that looking at their posts was making me feel worse.
Can't relate, but I can totally understand that.
Do you follow any celebrities on Instagram?
No.
Just family?
Megan is a celebrity. I follow her on Instagram.
And me.
Yeah.
I'm not a celebrity.
You are a celebrity. You have a little blue check
mark. That does not make me a celebrity.
But yeah, I think I follow 40 something people. So yeah, clearly I'm very active on Instagram.
My favorite thing has been watching Steven navigate all that because he recently made his Instagram public. Mm-hmm. And before that, he just had one like yours that was private and just family and friends.
Yeah.
And it's really funny watching him.
He's got to be so awkward about it.
He loves it. Really? He shouted himself out on the podcast twice. So go follow Steven on Instagram.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, go follow Steven. Not me, though.
But you can follow our other brother because he has a public Instagram.
Yeah, follow Austin.
Yeah. Which I'm the middle child. Mm-hmm. So Jordan and I are 14 months apart, which seemed very normal to me growing up because we had a lot of other friends who had like siblings who were 1 year apart. And then now getting into the time in my life where, like, Steven and I are trying to start a family, I cannot imagine having a four-month-old and then being like, let's do this again. Like, that's crazy.
Just pump them out in rapid succession. Be miserable for a couple years and then you don't have to worry about it again.
Exactly. Well, unless you're our parents.
Yeah.
But a lot of people thought Jordan and I were twins growing up.
I don't think that's true.
That is true. That's what mom said.
Okay.
Mom said people used to always think we were twins because I talked very early, which I'm sure is surprising to absolutely no one. Mm-hmm. And you were a little bit more quiet. So verbally, it seemed like we were the same age.
Yeah.
And you were a little bit small. And I was, I think, average. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of look like little twins, which is really cute. Mm. But yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about like our dynamic growing up?
Yeah, I mean, we were what, 14 months apart? Mm-hmm. So I think when we were kids, I mean, obviously like really young, I don't think either of us remember, but we were probably really close, I'd have to imagine. I mean,
all the home video shows.
Yeah, all the home videos would make me think that. And then I think as we got older, like maybe late elementary school, middle school, early high school, we really started to clash a little bit more.
Well, we're also incredibly different. I think we're about as different as two siblings can get. Yeah,
and I mean, when you're in elementary school or middle school or even high school, those differences just drive you apart and you're not old enough or mature enough to be able to understand and accept those differences and like those differences in someone else.
Well, and I think no matter what kind of person I had been, I would have been your annoying younger sister because I was your younger sister. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that I'm me made it extra annoying.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you were just annoying in general. Right. So.
But I would have been annoying no matter what. And then the fact that I was actually really annoying probably made it like, oh, that's my annoying younger sister. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we got somewhat close in high school just because we kind of had some overlap in our group of friends.
Yeah, but it was always kind of strange, right? Because I had friends that were friends with you, your friends that played basketball with me.
Right.
And so I was kind of friends with them, but you were closer friends with them.
Right.
And so they would like come over to hang out with you, but then I would kind of be there, but kind of not be there. And so it was just kind of like a strange dynamic for a couple of years.
But I think the turning point for us was because you're a year older than me. You had a car. Mm-hmm. You had your cool convertible Mustang.
Yeah.
And
it's the worst car ever.
But
loved
it was cool.
Loved it to death. That was the worst car ever.
And I was a freshman in high school. And I would have, you know, my friends sleep over, like one or two friends. And you would have one or two of your friends sleep over. And we'd come upstairs. Jordan, will you take us to Taco Bell? Jordan, will you take us to our friend's house? Jordan, will you take us teepeeing? And yeah, you
that
would.
Was, that was a fun couple of years.
And that.
Year and a half or so, yeah.
That's really when fun. I think we really became friends.
Yeah. That's when we really became friends. But I don't think we really got to be close until I went off to college.
Well, there was one more event before that that I feel like brought us closer, which was your cardiac arrest.
Right. That was definitely a big... I mean, that brought our whole family closer. Not that we were... I mean, we were already...
We were a close family.
Probably one of the closest families I've ever met, but I think that brought us even closer.
Right. But then we'll talk more about that in a bit. But then Jordan went off to college, and I feel like all of a sudden the house felt very empty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is weird. And I knew that I was going to be leaving the next year. And then when I left for college, our schools were, what, 15 minutes away from each other?
15, 20, yeah.
So we started hanging out more. And it was the first time in our lives where we had to be intentional about
staying close. Yeah, we weren't just around each other.
Right.
Because we lived together.
We had to say, hey, do you want to go out to lunch? Hey, do you want to come over and play games? Hey, do you want to come watch the Bachelor finale with me and my friends? Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we became close because I think we realized that no one was gonna make us be friends anymore, and no one was gonna say go spend time with your sister, go hang out with your brother, it's time for dinner. And you, I think, really led that, which I think meant a lot to me that you started reaching out all the time.
I think also distance was a big thing.
Yeah,
right. When you're with someone all the time and you're a big personality, I would get sick of you. Like even being on opposite sides of the house, I would get sick of you. And then the distance, I kind of started to realize, I mean, I kind of miss her. Like, I kind of miss being sick of her. So I was really happy that, I think that distance brought us a lot closer together, and now we're closer than ever.
Yeah. And then I think when you started dating Megan and, you know, Steven and I started getting more serious and the four of us would hang out all the time. Mm-hmm. That
was really fun when you guys had that apartment down there.
Yeah. That was so fun. Yeah. But now you guys live close to us again. Mm-hmm. Jordan just bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Very exciting.
Very exciting. A lot of work.
Yeah. But let's back up a little bit and let's talk a little bit more about our sibling dynamic and then kind of how that changed when our brother Austin was born.
Yeah.
Because there's three of us. You guys know Austin pretty well. And I feel like you and I are very aware of our flaws as people and aware of each other's flaws. And we look at Austin as how
we're more aware of each other's flaws than our own.
And then I'd like to think I'm somewhat self-aware.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I bet you like to think that.
But then we look at our brother Austin, and we just both, I think, see him as perfect. Like,
yeah, I think all four of us in our family blindly believe Austin is the most perfect human being ever.
Oh, absolutely. I think,
but it's because he is.
He is. Yeah. Exactly. I think he got all the best qualities from you and all the best qualities of me.
And with none of the bad stuff. Yeah.
Like, mom and dad got all the bad genes out with us and then was just left with perfect, purified Austin.
Yeah.
He really is real life Troy Bolton. Like, he grew up.
Well, yeah.
He did musical theater with me growing up. So talented, so charismatic. And then he's also.
And then I won him over.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. He's also an incredibly great athlete, and he's now chosen basketball. But I believe that he will come back to theater someday.
That's nice to believe that. I think that ship has sailed.
I don't think so. He told me that he would totally go back to theater someday.
I bet he told you that.
He sang at my wedding.
Yes, true. That's because you really wanted him to, though.
I did. I kind of pressured him into it.
Yeah, he didn't lead the charge on that one at all.
But I think I was 6 when my brother Austin was born. Jordan was 7. And I think that also is when we kind of stopped being best friends, because then we were just fighting over who got to be Austin's best friend all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
I wonder if that was part of it. I never thought about that.
I think it is. Because And you won that battle because you were...
And the war.
Older brother. You won the battle, but I won the war. And so you would play... You'd roughhouse with him and you'd do all that stuff. And then I'd want him to come play, you know, coloring with me. And that wasn't as fun.
Yeah.
But we love our brother, Austin. He's really fantastic. And I think I'm going to have him on the podcast soon, too. Another thing that was a big part of our growing up was we used to make YouTube videos together.
Yeah.
Which we did. I've never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on the internet.
And they'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, no, they won't. But there was one summer. How old were we?
Maybe 12, 11. I mean, we were young enough that Evan still had a very high-pitched voice. So I would say we were probably like 11.
Yeah, ish.
Yeah.
But we had we grew up with like in a community with a lot of other kids our age, and specifically, I mean, I consider them like brothers, but it was Jordan and I, and then our friends Connor and Caden, who Caden was in my grade, Connor was in your grade, and then another set of siblings, another Connor, and then his brother Evan, who Evan was in my grade, but Connor was a grade above you.
Right.
And the 6 of us from probably preschool all the way through high school stayed pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, as with any friend group, you kind of drift in and out, but we always stayed in contact, and whenever we would get together and hang out, it was like nothing ever changed.
And it still is. Yeah. We still have fun.
Yeah.
We get together at least like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the guys in that friend group got a camera, and he was like, we should start a YouTube channel. Let's make YouTube videos. So he mm-hmm. was like the director, and he would come up with these scripts and we would act him out, and it was really fun. I remember mm-hmm. that summer so well. And then I remember one time I had rehearsal for a show I was in. And I remember Connor called me on the house phone because I don't think I had a cell phone yet. And he was like, if you're not serious about this, then you don't get to be part of it anymore.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
And then I think it just became your guy's thing.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like it lasted all that long.
It was you guys just, did it for a little... I'd say it was probably a year.
No. It was just that one summer. I mean, there's probably like 10 videos maybe.
Yeah.
And you're in probably 6 of them.
Yeah.
But they're so bad. Yeah.
But it was, I think,
who would have thought you would go from those videos to this? Yeah.
But I think I'm always surprised when the more creative aspects of you come out, because in our family you're the sports guy and I'm the creative person.
I'm low-key creative.
You are low-key creative. Mm-hmm. I will never forget the summer you started trying to teach yourself the harmonica. That was the worst. Because you taught yourself piano and guitar, and those were pleasant.
Uh-huh.
And you got into singing, and then you...
Blues Special 20 harmonica.
Does he, Megan, does he still have that?
No. No, you've never heard me play. Oh, yeah, I'd find it, and Penny would get freaked out by it. Yeah.
It was awful. But I'm always surprised when those more creative aspects of you come out, because Jordan was an athlete in high school. Would you still consider yourself an athlete?
Absolutely.
Megan?
Oh, come on.
It's like a retired
men's league MVP right here.
Huh? So, what'd you say?
Men's league MVP.
You're playing
and like the old guy league, yeah.
But Jordan was like the basketball kid. Like, I'm pretty sure every picture day you wore your Michael Jordan jersey. You didn't own a pair of jeans until like 8th grade. You only wore
7th grade, and that was a big battle.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that was a big battle.
He only wore basketball shorts. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, when you went to we went to the same high school for a little while, then he transferred to a different one, and then I transferred to that one too. But while he was at his second high school, he was in was it your sophomore year?
Yeah.
He was in a basketball game and he just dropped to the floor, cardiac arrest. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So never had any history of heart problems or anything like that growing up. I mean, we were playing sports since we were like 2, right? Literally like pushing yourself to the limits every day before that. And then all of a sudden, just boom, out of nowhere, first varsity basketball game, just passed out on the floor. I woke up in the hospital like 3 or 4 days later, and apparently I went into cardiac arrest, was placed in a medically induced coma for, I think, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was a while.
It was a while.
And it was one of the scariest things that ever happened, for sure. But I had, I think, a 4% chance of surviving that.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I remember I was so obviously upset and distraught, and you were at the San Diego hospital, and, you know, mom and dad were sleeping in the chairs, and Austin and I were staying with our grandparents, and I was coming down to the hospital, and...
It's so vague for me.
I remember it vividly. I remember your friend Connor selling shirts at school in, you know, like, honor of you, and I remember having to go to class, and it was awful. But I remember when they said, so he's in a coma, and he is a 96%... What he has only has a 4% chance of surviving.
Yeah.
So that was, like, definitely the scariest moment of my life. And especially because I feel like we weren't that close before that. And I think that's kind of what got us to be closer.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it changed me, too.
Right.
I mean, I went from being... Not that I was a bad kid, by any means. But
our family jokes about...
Pre-coma Jordan and post-coma Jordan. Yeah.
Because, you know, you were a teenager and...
And then I grew up in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's still, when I relive everything that happened, shocking to me that you are... Not only did you survive, but you're pretty much untouched.
Yeah, I mean, that was... That whole situation was obviously horrible. I spent the next 6 months after I recovered from the hospital just doing rehab.
Yeah, you came home on Christmas Eve. I remember that.
Yeah, that was terrible. I couldn't do anything.
I know.
You guys couldn't even understand me.
Yeah, you couldn't talk.
Yeah, I mean, it was, what, 6 months of rehab just trying to come back to being a normal person. And then probably 4 years mentally to get back just because of all the anxiety of worrying about having something like that happen again.
Right.
So, I mean, I have the defibrillator that protects me from anything happening again, and they were able to figure out what went wrong, and I had surgery. But it still just was a constant fear that it was going to happen again.
Right, because even though you got through that and it was miraculous that you did, you never get rid of that fear of
just this happening again. Constant anxiety. I mean, it would be something as simple as going on a walk. And I would start to feel, you know, you start going uphill and you feel your heart go a little faster. But for me, that was like a sign that this is it. I'm going into cardiac arrest again. I'm going to die. Oh, my God.
Right.
And just full-on panic attacks.
Well, and that's hard, too, because the anxiety, you know, it's anxiety in the way that I think most people think about anxiety. But also, it is, like, such a real fear of it happening again because it could happen again.
Yeah.
And your heart rate is increasing, and then that makes you feel like it is going to happen again. And
right.
It's
just a completely compounding effect.
Right. Yeah. Do you feel like you're fully over that, or do you feel like it's something you still struggle with?
No, I think I'm fully over it. I mean, there were a number of years. I think it was my freshman year of college that it really started to affect me.
Okay.
And then my sophomore, junior, senior year of college, I stopped drinking a lot because I would get freaked out if I drank. I stopped playing a lot of basketball because I'd get freaked out when my heart rate would go up. And it wasn't until probably my first or second year out of school. I guess it would have been my senior year of college that I really started to figure it out.
And that was, I feel like, a big part of you and Megan's relationship, too.
Yeah.
You guys learning how to navigate that?
It really affected us because, you know, Megan's a very active person. She wanted to be able to go on hikes, go on runs with me. And I wanted to do those things, too. But it would get to a point where we would be going on a short little hike, and I would have a full-on meltdown, panic attack, call an ambulance, like, I'm going to die.
Right.
And it's something that I needed somebody to push me to get through that, and it was tricky, though, because she couldn't push me too hard.
Right.
Because there was still some underlying fear that something could happen. But I needed somebody to help me get out of my comfort zone and get over that, and that's one of the main reasons why we have such a strong relationship, I think. Yeah. She helped me get through that.
Well, I think she was really good, and our parents especially knew that you needed that person to be like, no, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are going to go on this hike, and you are going to do it, but then also, like, I'm going to listen to you, and we're going to take it slow, and we're going to take our time.
Yeah.
But it's so hard because you're such an active person.
Yeah. I am now. I wasn't for a couple of years.
But you always were. Yeah. Like, you always wanted to be.
Yeah. That was one of the things that was so hard. I mean, I couldn't even go play basketball.
Right. But the craziest thing is, so before the anxiety really set in, but after the thing, the cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
You went down in that, the very first game of the season.
Yeah.
You were back on the court at the last game.
It was interesting because I felt invincible the first time it happened. I was like, I survived this. I can survive anything. And then they put the defibrillator in, and about 6 months later, I get shocked, and then they were able to figure out what went wrong, had surgery, came back, same deal, I'm okay, I can handle it. And then it wasn't until my freshman year of college I had another thing happen, and I realized how fragile I really was, physically and mentally.
Right.
And I haven't had any problems since then, but the panic and the anxiety really affected me, and it was tough because I used to not realize how big of an impact anxiety can have on a person, or panic attacks for that matter. I mean, a panic attack is the worst. I would never wish that upon my worst enemy.
Yeah.
And if you've never had one, you look at it from the outside and you think, just calm down. Like, dude, just chill out. It's not a big deal. Just sit down and drink some water or something. But in that moment, you're having this crazy fear of impending doom.
Well, and it becomes physical.
Yeah, it becomes physical. Yeah. And then your body starts to heat up and your heart starts to go super fast. And I mean, it's a nightmare.
Right.
I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. But those things really changed me and helped me learn to empathize with people too.
Right. I can't even imagine you being the one who actually lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like for our family, for mom and dad and me and Austin, it was so traumatic. And you actually were the one living through it. What's the first memory that you have from when you came out of the coma?
Let's see. I woke up. I mean, I have like faint memories when I'm in the hospital.
Yeah.
Of being in the ICU, but just very, very faint. I think my first memory of fully being conscious was I woke up. Dad was in the room with me. And he was like so excited because I was conscious.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what was going on. But I knew that it was probably about playoff time for the NFL. And I wanted to watch Brett Favre play for the Vikings because I think it was going to be his last season there. And, you know, I talked to Dad for a little bit trying to figure out what was going on. He's like, you went into cardiac arrest. I was like, what? No. Did we win? And then, can you turn on the game? And so he turns on the TV, and I couldn't see the TV because, I mean, I had breathing tubes all over me. My mind, my eyes, everything was completely unadjusted to being conscious.
Right.
And I was freaking out, man. I was freaking out.
Like terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's just faint little moments like that.
Yeah.
And then leaving the hospital, I think, is really when my memory started to solidify.
Do you remember coming home?
Vaguely.
Do you remember the game of catchphrase?
Yeah, the game of catchphrase we played in the room. And I couldn't speak yet because my mouth, I guess, hadn't adjusted to being fully conscious. I mean, I lost oxygen to my brain for 12 or 13 seconds.
Yeah.
And so your body takes time, obviously, to recover from something like that. And we're playing a game that's fully built upon communicating with people. And nobody could understand me. And they picked this game to play with me.
Well, that used to be your favorite game. And you came home Christmas Eve. And we were all just so happy that you were, you know, home and somewhat okay. And we all came up to your room because you couldn't get out of bed. And Dad was like, let's play a game. Let's play catchphrase. And it's, you pass this little disc around and you're trying to get people to guess the thing on the screen.
Yeah.
So Jordan can't talk, and he's also the most competitive person I've ever met, except for maybe our grandma. And he's trying to communicate with us. And eventually, like, I think my dad just starts saying, yeah, you got it, to, like, everything. But you knew.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, no, I
was like, shut up.
Yeah, no, you didn't get it.
I slapped the thing out of his hand at one point. That sucked. But, I mean, that whole situation really changed me as a person.
You had to relearn everything.
Well, it changed my mental approach to things too. Right. I became more calm. I became, I think, more understanding and more driven, more ambitious, because I realized, I mean, we're only here once, right? We only have this moment once. We only have the next moment once. And so we have to take advantage of the time that we have and make the most of it. Make the world a better place for the people around you, for yourself, And I just kind of snapped into this mindset that I'm going to be a better person.
And you were. It was so stark, the difference of pre-coma Jordan and post-coma Jordan,
yeah.
that you became this person who's the first person to say I love you and the first person to say, hey, let's go out to lunch, and the first person to tell someone that you appreciate them. How do you feel? How much do you feel like that changed your outlook on life? Did it change your religious beliefs? Did it change the way that you look at the world?
I mean, it certainly changed all of that.
Yeah.
My religious beliefs, I think, stayed as constant as they always were. I'm not the most avid Christian, but I try to stay close to my faith as much as I can. But just my overall outlook, I used to be a really negative person. I still sometimes have some negative tendencies, but I try to be more positive. I think I react to things better than I used to.
Yeah.
And that was fully, I mean, I fully admit that the cardiac arrest was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, that's like a crazy thing to say. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, again, would never wish it on anyone. And I wish it hadn't happened to you, of course. Yeah. But I think you took this difficult situation and said, how can I use this to make me a better person and make the best of the time that I do have?
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to think about the person that you would be if that hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't.
Well, you look at, I don't know if you've read other articles about people who've had near-death experiences, but they go through the same thing. You know, you have, some people have spiritual revelations, some people have revelations about how they're going to approach their lives, and just changes a person.
Right.
And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. One of the best things that ever happened to our family, I think.
You can say that because it happened to you?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say it.
Yeah. I stand by it.
Yeah.
I stand by it for sure.
I think I remember when it happened thinking, you know, why our family? Like, why Jordan? Why would this happen? And, you know, we had lived such a blessed life before that.
Yeah, absolutely.
For all intents and purposes, the ideal family of our parents are together. Our parents love each other. So much.
Too much.
Too much. Yeah. Like, they're so... They act like they're still in the honeymoon
phase. Catch them in the back of Pirates of the Caribbean.
God. It's true. They hold hands everywhere. They go on date nights. You know, our family was, you know, really close. And we never had any health problems in our family. And never any, you know, no deaths.
I mean, I think that's the definition of a blessed childhood,
right.
For sure.
Right. And then that happened. And my first inclination was, you know, why us? Why this? But it's like everyone has something that happens to them. And that was your thing. Mm-hmm. That was our family's thing. And
in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't. I mean, obviously in the moment, it was horrible. Right. But you look at things that other people are going through, losing parents, losing siblings.
Right.
It's peanuts.
Right. And we were very lucky, and our family was very lucky to not have really anything else that was making that situation even more difficult. Like going through something like that, but having divorced parents or having financial issues or having, you know, a parent lose a job or not be able to, you know, handle the medical bills or anything like that.
I mean, at the time, mom wasn't working, so she was basically a full-time nurse.
Right.
Shelling me from appointment to appointment, just doting on me for the 6 months that I needed to recover.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what would have happened if she couldn't have done that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it's one of those things where it I think, gave us all perspective to be grateful for everything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Jordan's, I would call it a near-death experience, but you did actually die.
Yeah, I did. Well, it depends on your definition of death, but yes, I am a zombie. That is true.
Didn't they bring you back twice? I think it was once on the court and once in the hospital.
Technically twice, but the second time I never lost oxygen to my brain.
All right.
14 seconds the first time. Still got it.
What else do we have to talk about? Oh, okay. So after all of that, and then you get back into the normal swing of things, you get back home and you're Jordan again, but new Jordan. Our high school experiences were very different. And
very different for a time. And then they became super similar.
A lot. When?
When you transferred over to
Charter.
Yeah. Attack your pride.
But Jordan, I think a lot of people, the older sibling is the one who is testing out the waters and pushing boundaries. You didn't do any of that for me. And I was the one who got in a lot of trouble.
That's because I didn't do anything that warranted getting in trouble.
You just played World of Warcraft all day.
Hell yeah.
But
I played World of Warcraft. I played basketball. That was it.
That was it. And you would have your friends over. And we had this office upstairs where Jordan and his friends would just play World of Warcraft all day. And then we didn't write this down to talk about, but I want to talk about it anyways. Do you remember your jerking phase?
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing.
Do you guys remember anyone who's in our demographic?
Probably too young.
Okay, my audience is my...
What's the demographic for?
21 to 25 and then 25 to 32.
Okay, maybe they're not too young.
So they're probably very familiar. It was the You're a Jerk song, and then there were like Jerkin' Crews.
That was kind of a basic jerking song.
Okay, so what was your favorite jerking song?
I don't know. Has too many profane words in the title to say.
But my favorite story is Jordan and his friend Connor went to the park to film themselves on our video camera jerking.
Yep, we were starting a crew.
Just the two of you, though.
Yep. Well, we were going to recruit some others.
You're taking a break from WoW to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was not a long break, let's be honest. We couldn't take a very long break from WoW.
And Jordan twisted his ankle doing a knee drop.
I didn't twist my ankle.
I broke
my left metatarsal. I was out for six games my freshman season, and I had to explain this to my coach. Jordan, how'd you get hurt? Oh, you know, I was dancing. Oh, well, you had a wedding or something? No.
At the park.
At the park. With my friend. Yeah, so that was fun.
Do we still have those videos somewhere?
I think Mom might have archived them somewhere, but I really hope not. We used to have the footage of exactly the moment that I broke my foot.
When the best part is, you guys would do like dance with your headphones into your iPod,
hood on,
and then you would go into iMovie and add the music back in and post.
Yep.
But the clip of you breaking your ankle is just silent with couple families walking by at the park, and then your sneakers squeaking on the. Yep. Concrete.
Yep. Yep.
Just silent.
Very strange.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about financials, your kind of concepts about retirement and investing. But before we do that, perfect time to say thank you to our sponsor, Cash App.
Cash App.
The number one finance app in the App Store. Cash App is a fantastic app that you can use to send money back and forth to your friends. It makes it really easy. So maybe you want to start a jerking crew with your friends, but you need to get an iPod to listen to it while you're dancing in a public park. You could just split it, Cash App for half. Don't have to worry about any of it. Really, really easy. See, nice anecdotal story, very applicable to you.
Don't start a jerking crew. Don't do it.
But Cash App is great. We absolutely love them. They are a huge supporter of the podcast, and Cash App also has the Cash App debit card, which comes with Boosts, which are kind of like credit card perks and rewards, but all packed into a free debit card. So you can get Boosts, which are like free rewards for places that you already shop, Target, Whole Foods, wherever. They're really great. And one of the best parts about Cash App is that they partner with us to support the Trevor Project, which is a fantastic LGBTQ+ organization who provides resources and crisis intervention. And they're great. They do great work. So if you download Cash App from the App Store today, use promo code Unfiltered.
Cash App.
Unfiltered. Use promo code Unfiltered, and you can get $10. And then Cash App will also donate $10 to the Trevor Project. So use Unfiltered, download Cash App from the App Store. Thank you, Cash App.
Thanks, Cash App.
Thank you, Cash App.
Thanks, Cash App, for sponsoring this video and paying me to be in it.
Yeah, about that. But it was very difficult to do that sponsor read while you were whispering Cash App the entire time.
I was providing ambiance. I will take my cut of the Cash App proceeds.
Perfect.
Cash App.
But let's talk a little bit about you and your ideas on finances, because this is why you said you wanted to come on the podcast.
Part of it. I mean, I think a lot of people our age don't have a lot of education when it comes to personal finance or finances in general.
And I think the only education I got about it was from our dad.
Well, we were lucky to have our dad talk to us about that kind of stuff. And for me, it really sparked an interest. And I think a lot of people our age are ending up in massive credit card debt or are not starting to save money for retirement, which is crazy because the most valuable thing you have when it comes to finances is time.
Time, yeah.
If I could show a chart of the time value of money or the power of compounding interest, if you put $1,000 into a bank account from the age of 22 to 40, by the time you're 65, it's over $1 million.
Which is...
$1,000 a year.
It's crazy because I remember when I was 20 and I started my Roth IRA, which is a great way to, if you're, you know, just starting out and you don't have that much money to put into it or you don't have a 401k or anything, it's a great option to look into.
So the Roth IRA is a retirement account that is self-funded. It's from post-tax money, and you don't get taxed on the capital gains or you don't get taxed on the income when it comes out to you. So if you're starting out early on, you don't make a lot of money, a Roth IRA is the best option for saving for retirement. And the earlier you start, the way better off you are.
Right. Even if you, I think the biggest thing that I cannot stress enough is like, even if you're just putting in $50, $100, if you're putting that in when you're 18 or 19 or 20,
it's worth so much more when you're 55, 60, and you'll be so happy that you did it.
Right. Because the interest compounds. And I don't think I understood that until Dad showed me one of those charts that were like, so, because I remember I was saying, well, I want to go to New York. I want to take a trip to New York and I have this money saved. And he was like, well, let's say you're going to spend $1,000 on your trip to New York. But let's say instead, I was 19 at the time. He was like, let's say instead you put that into a Roth IRA. You could take the entire family on a 2-week trip to Disney World in, you know, 40 years when you retire. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah. Oh. Go look at those compounding charts if you're watching this video. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it's around $1,000 a year from 22 to 40, and you have $1 million at 55 or 60.
Yeah.
I mean, the power of compounding is just insane.
It really is. I don't know as much about finances as you do, but I would highly recommend, and you can correct me if you're wrong, if I'm wrong, looking into a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. And by the way, all the advice that either Jordan or I give is just our opinion.
Yep.
We are not trained financial investors or advisors, so take everything we say with a grain of salt. Do your own research. This is just what has worked for Jordan and what he's passionate about.
Yeah, what's worked for me and millions of other Americans.
But we're not liable.
No, very much not liable.
Stephen told me to make sure I say that.
Yeah, very much not liable. But investing in a Roth IRA and buying simple S&P 500 index funds is probably the best thing that you can do for your future.
So what is that, an S&P 500?
So the S&P 500 stands for the Standard & Poor's Index of the 500 biggest companies in the United States.
Okay. And
that are public.
An index, just because
it basically gives you exposure to all 500 of those companies. So let's say you're investing in the stock market and you want to buy some Visa stock. You can buy $1,000 of that Visa stock, but then you're exposed to, if all of your money is in Visa, let's say, you can lose all of that money if Visa were to go bankrupt, or you could lose some percentage of that if the stock is going down. On the flip side, there's also reward if you're only in one stock, you can go up. But the market typically moves at about 7% increased a year. So if you're invested in an S&P 500 index fund, you have exposure to all of the top 500 companies, which gives you safety. And at an average return of 7%, which is what the S&P has returned over the past 60 years, I think it's probably more like 8 or 9%.
And that's considered a conservative investment typically, right? In the index funds?
Well, I wouldn't say conservative. Conservative would be investing in bonds, which return about 2%, and those are guaranteed.
So it's, the it's market not like fluctuates. A risky investment, no. But it's not as conservative. As
right. The market fluctuates. And if it's money that you're planning to save for retirement, then it's going to be in there for a long time. Long term, the market is going
to
go up.
So the big thing being, if this is money you don't need access to for a long time.
Yep.
So like retirement.
Then it's going to be safe in an S&P 500 index fund. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like investing in Bitcoin.
Are you invested in Bitcoin?
A little bit. It's fun.
Yeah.
Not enough to hurt me if it becomes worth nothing, but enough to have some skin in the game, which is kind of fun.
Okay. And how much of your retirement do you think is, how do I put this? How much of what you know about retirement and savings and what you're planning for is investing and investments and the stock market?
All of it.
All of it?
Yeah. I mean, if you're investing in an S&P 500 index fund, you're going to get a return of 7% a year, likely.
On average.
On average. I mean, some years the market goes down, some years it goes way up. But over the long haul, you're going to get about 7% a year. And as you get older and you get closer to retirement, your allocation starts to change. You go from, say, 90% stocks, 10% bonds to 50% stocks, 50% bonds when you're closer to retirement because your risk profile changes a lot. You're going to need that money sooner, and you're more prone to the fluctuations in the market because you're going to be pulling that money out sooner. And you don't necessarily need the growth when you're 50. You just right. want to make sure you're getting some return. But so, while you're younger, putting it in completely an index fund is a good move, in my opinion.
So what are you doing, and what do you recommend for people who are in their 20s and even 30s and mm-hmm. are just kind of starting to think about future and savings and retirement? What are you doing? What are the first things that you did to prepare for that? And what do you recommend people look into?
Like you know, I've done a ton of research on this, probably more than any one person should do. But the things that I'm doing right now, and I'm fortunate enough to have a really good job that allows me to do this, I'm maxing out my 401k. So my employer matches 5% of the funds that I put into my 401k. So I have extra money going into that. Plus, I max that, which I think is $19,000 a year, which is money that doesn't get taxed on capital gains. So you can do what's called a traditional 401k or a Roth 401k, which just changes when you get taxed on that money, but there's no tax on the growth.
Okay.
So I switched. I'm doing a Roth 401k right now because our tax bracket is relatively low right now. And then I'm doing my Roth IRA, which I'm maxing out every year. So right now I have about $27,000 each year that are going towards Roth retirement accounts. And then whatever other money I have saved up on the side, I put into a brokerage account, which I also invest in index funds.
And you also do a really good job of keeping your day-to-day expenses really low.
Yeah, I try to. I mean, that's I think that's one of the biggest problems in our country right now is massive consumerism, right? I mean, we're spending so much money on things that we don't need. Eating out 5, 6, 7, 8 times a week. And I mean, Megan and I are guilty of it.
You love Rubios.
We love Rubios. We eat a lot of Rubios. We actually had Rubios today, believe it or not.
Of course you did.
But we're trying to cut back because that's an expense that's not necessary. I mean, we can cook food that's just as good or better and yeah. likely healthier at home for a fraction of the price. And that's one of the things we don't do well. But we try not to spend money on things that don't quite matter as much to us.
Right.
We don't need big fancy cars. We don't need big showy outfits or whatever. I mean, that's just not what we're interested in, but it's something that helps us cut back on our spending and put more money towards our retirement accounts. Because one of the things that's really important to me, and I think as an extension has become important to Megan, is getting to the point where we're financially independent and we can choose if we want to work or not work.
And is that the Reddit FIRE movement?
Yeah, in a sense. FIRE stands for financial independence, retire early. So we're looking for financial independence and maybe retire early if we feel like it. But it's a great resource. So you're firm.
Financial independence, retire maybe?
Yeah. Well, I think I'd like to retire. Megan, maybe not so much.
Well, you would want to be like a stay-at-home dad, right?
I want to be a stay-at-home dad and a basketball coach. But that does not pay very well. Being an engineer pays.
Yeah, quite you well. Didn't get your engineering degree to be a basketball coach.
Yeah.
But it's something you're passionate about. And if you work hard in your engineering job now and make smart investments, then it's something that you may be able to do later.
Yeah. And because of how much money we're putting away in our retirement accounts right now, I mean, we're going to be able to retire in our early 40s if we want to,
incredible.
Which is awesome. I mean, that's the power of compounding.
You sound like an ad for compound interest.
I can't stress enough how awesome it is. I mean, yeah. If you're young and you have a little bit of disposable income, put it in retirement accounts. Put it in retirement accounts. Put it in an S&P 500 index fund or some other kind of index fund. I mean, I would recommend S&P 500 because
I think a lot of people our age want to do that stuff.
But they don't know
how. They don't know how, and also they feel sometimes absolutely crippled by college debt. Like, just absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
So how can someone who's like, yeah, that sounds good, I would love to, but right now I have $100,000 of college debt that I'm trying to pay off.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the interest rate of that debt, right? If your interest rate of your student loan debt is 4% or lower, then, I mean, pay that off as soon as you can. But I think that's a low enough interest rate that you can afford to siphon off $50, $100 a month and put it towards retirement and let that money grow. But if your interest rate in your student loan debt is more like 7, 8, 10%, then pay that off as soon as possible.
Right.
Because that will just cripple you, your financial capabilities forever.
Right.
But that's, I mean, that's something that our generation's really struggling with.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the classic boomer methodology is, well, I worked two jobs while I was in college and that paid for everything. Yeah. So just do that. It's like, well, when you went to college, it was 40 cents, Grandpa. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the stats on wages, wage growth versus rent growth and living expenses growth, I mean, it's just, it's insane. And the job market now is such that if you have a college degree, and I mean, certainly some majors are more valuable than others.
Right.
But let's say you have a college degree in, I don't know, history. In the past, that's, you can get a job no problem, or economics, whatever, business. But now, almost everybody our age is working towards or has a college degree.
Right.
And so the market becomes so much more competitive. We have that many people who are looking for jobs and already have these credentials.
Right.
Which makes it hard for those people to pay off their student loan debt. And it's just a vicious cycle.
So in addition to you having your, you know, 9 to 5 and getting your degree and doing all of that, you also had a side hustle.
Yeah. Well, so I'm doing my MBA at night right now while I'm working. But I also started a tech company in college, which I was able to sell some portions of it, which helped me pay off some of my student debt, which was huge. But that entrepreneurial spirit was something that our parents really put into us early on. I mean, we see it with you, obviously, and with my company, I think it was just something that was really encouraged from an early age for us.
I think it took me a while to kind of realize that YouTube is so entrepreneurial.
Oh, absolutely.
But the more I look back at it and I look at what you did with your company and what I'm doing with, you know, now my company, Sierra Schulze Incorporated.
Yeah.
I think so much of that is from our parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, our parents always had side hustles. They both had degrees and they both had jobs. But when we were kids, my mom used to edit people's papers at night
till like crazy hours, like 3 in the morning.
She had editmypaper.com, which I think she actually sold the domain too or something like that. She did. But she, you know, they were fine and they had their jobs, but they wanted to make sure that they, and also I think it's just that they're like,
they're ambitious people. And it's something that rubbed off on us too, right? I mean, you're ambitious. Look at the way your channel has grown. Look at the way it's continuing to grow. And look at, you know, I'm working as an engineer. I'm in grad school. We both have been very fortunate to be put in positions to be successful. And we had parents who taught us the values to help us get to that point.
Right. But I think watching, you know, mom have her side hustle and she's, you know, coaching and doing all that. And then dad always starting different businesses and stuff. I think it made me always realize, like, it's okay if I don't go to college. I can do something without a degree.
Yeah, that's something that I mean... It sounds kind of blasphemous to say, but I don't think everybody should go to college.
I think I benefited by not getting my
BA. You're not in massive amounts of student loan debt.
Nope.
And you still have, you have this awesome job that you've created for yourself. And not everybody is fortunate enough to be able to do that and be as successful as you have. But a lot of times that student loan debt can just cripple a person no matter what job they end up with.
Right. But I do think that education is super important.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons I think community college is such a good option.
Yeah.
Because, like, for me, I have no debt. I was able to pay for my classes as I took them. If 5 years down the line, you guys stop watching, and, you know, this can't be my job anymore.
Yeah.
I have half of my degree.
Yeah.
And I have half of a BA, and I have my What's it called? My AA. I have my AA. As you can see, it's very important to me. And so that's, to me, like, I don't have nothing, but I also didn't spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
And then Stephen went to community college.
Same thing with Megan. The community college system is incredible. And I think a lot of people are taking advantage of it now.
I think so. But I think a couple years ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Because I do think, especially in our city, there was very much this attitude of...
There's a stigma with
it. Yeah, there's a stigma.
Which is terrible that there's a stigma with it. I mean, it's the smart move.
Right. It absolutely is the smart move. Especially because when you're choosing these colleges and you're going off, you don't know what you want to do. You think you do. You did.
Well, I didn't really.
Do you regret ever getting your degree in engineering?
No.
No.
Because I tend to be a person that goes for the safe option as my like starting point, and then I'll start to venture out from there.
Okay.
And engineering, knew I could get a great job out of school.
Right.
But going to USD, the school I went to, was really expensive. I was fortunate enough to have a pretty large scholarship, but it was really expensive. And my freshman and sophomore year, I did not focus on school at all.
Yeah. You went into party mode.
I did. And a lot of people
I got
do.
All of that out in high school, and you didn't.
A lot of people do, though.
Yeah.
And their freshman and sophomore years become a wash, or they end up with bad grades that maybe haunt them down the line when they're trying to go to grad school, or they have to retake classes, which costs even more money, and then your student loan debt goes even higher.
Right.
So I think if you're not sure what you're going to do, I think community college is an awesome option.
Well, and then once you figure out your major, then you can choose a college, a university to finish your degree that's specialized for that major.
Yeah.
Bella definitely. Is snoring.
She's been doing it for like half an hour. Yeah. I've just been trying not to acknowledge it, but she's been doing it for like half an hour.
Usually you can't hear it on the microphone, but I think I'm starting to hear it in my headphones.
I've been hearing it for half an hour.
And her eyes are open. She's awake.
She's the worst.
You hate my dogs.
No, I hate that dog. Richard's okay.
Bella's a sweet... Jordan calls my dogs Richard and Frank instead of Bella and Bruiser.
Bella looks like a Frank, and Richard was a total dick when you first got her. She really was.
She still is.
Yeah,
but that's what makes her so sweet and special.
Yeah.
But yes, so entrepreneurship, starting your own business, and then me with YouTube... Similar, but a little bit different.
Yeah. You went over the like the new ground of entrepreneurship, and I kind of went the much traveled territory.
But still new, because it's tech.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship is a great route to go. If you have a good idea, just start something. Yeah. Just go for it. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is you're at the same point you were before you started.
I think the book that helped me the most it's called The Business Model Generation. Mm-hmm. Have you read that one?
Mm-mm.
It's really good. It's basically all about how to build a business model, because I think a lot of people have an idea and they have no idea where to start. It starts very basic, and then it kind of goes into more, you know, how to, like, different revenue streams and key points of interest and those kind of things. Definitely recommend it for anyone who has any ideas they're looking to flesh out. Do you have any good literature on financials, entrepreneurship?
Nope. Books off the top of my head. I was fortunate in that at USD they have a huge entrepreneurship program, and so I had access to professors that taught that stuff for a living. But I would say the biggest thing is, if you're interested in going into entrepreneurship, is find a problem and figure out a way to solve it. Find a problem that affects a lot of people. Like for you, one of the reasons you're so successful is people didn't have someone that they could go to YouTube and look for confidence and encouragement. You found a problem, you found a niche, and you filled it. And that's how businesses are successful, how startups are successful, is finding a problem, finding a missing niche in the market, and figuring out how to fill it.
Which is, it's so interesting to hear you talk about that from a business perspective, because when I started, I guess it was that same idea, but it was more like, I don't feel like I have anyone to look to on YouTube who understands me, so I guess I'll try to make that content, which is essentially like, the basic version of what you said of find a problem and solve it. Me being like, I don't feel like there's anyone I relate to.
Yeah, you didn't even realize you were doing it. No. You were doing it. I remember when you first started YouTube.
Yeah, what did you think? Because me having my 10 subscribers, posting about my videos.
Yeah. I think all 10 of them were us. Yeah. We were very supportive. We tried to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think none of us saw this.
I didn't.
we tried our best to be supportive. We thought, oh, this is a great creative outlet for Sierra. She's got something to do. She's got a hobby.
And I was in kind of a difficult...
tumultuous state.
Yeah, I was in college for theater, but my major got canceled, and I was the only person in my major, so they discontinued it, and then they threw me into a program I didn't want to be in, and I had no idea what I wanted to do, and... then I started doing this, so I think everyone was like, okay, she could do this for a little
while.
Yeah,
we were just happy you found something to do. Really. I mean, couldn't watch your video. I mean, we watched them.
Oh, did I? You don't watch my videos.
No, I don't now. I did.
But they were way worse back then. Now they're actually good.
But you didn't need me. You don't need me now. You needed me
I need everyone. I need you.
I'm subscribed.
I need mom and dad.
I'm subscribed. I'm subscribed.
I appreciate it.
And
to all three channels?
There's a third channel?
The podcast!
A podcast.
Are you subscribed
to
the podcast?
No, I'm not subscribed to the podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us out. So if you're watching this, you can subscribe. You subscribe.
Okay, sorry.
Continue.
I don't even remember what I was talking about.
You're talking about when I started and you were like, cool, so you're going to keep her busy.
Yeah, I mean, we were just happy you had something to keep you busy, and we did not see this coming. I mean, your videos were interesting.
What does that mean?
You always had a big personality. I think we all knew you were either going to be some kind of star. I think, I mean, at the time we thought, oh, she's going to be on Broadway or she's going to be in Hollywood or whatever. Didn't realize that there was going to be this whole new avenue of being famous.
Okay, I'm not.
You're kind of famous.
No. You know what
you
my favorite
like word
is?
You have over a million subscribers on YouTube.
I'm a celebwity. Like on the web. Someone said that at a YouTube convention once and I never forgot it. I am a content creator.
Yeah, a well-known content creator. Okay, what?
Okay, anyways,
semantics.
Continue.
I lost my place again. I don't remember what I was talking
about. You never thought it would become this. You thought that I had a big personality.
Yeah, I mean, we always yeah, you were a big personality. We always thought you would be in some kind of avenue where you could share your thoughts and feelings and loudness. We didn't see this. I mean, after you kind of left college, we were like, okay, well, I just hope she's doing okay.
But I had Steven, so I feel like that made you guys
feel
a little better.
I mean, if you didn't have Steven at that time, I mean, this wouldn't be here for sure.
No, he's the one who told me to start.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it was. Thanks, Steven. but I think... Is it ever shocking to you that, because it's shocking to me, but as someone who grew up constantly telling me to shut up, that people will listen to me talk for an hour?
I can't understand it. I like, sometimes I'll be at work or I'll be out with friends and be talking, describing like what you do sometimes. And they're like, wow, she has a million subscribers. I'm like, yeah, I don't really get it.
I wouldn't subscribe to her.
I wouldn't. I mean, I do, but obviously I'm not your demographic.
Yeah.
But also, I have heard your voice for many moons.
Yes.
And as much as I do love to hear your voice, I don't need to hear it all the time when I'm not necessarily in the same room with you. But sometimes your videos are interesting to me even, and I watch them.
Like what?
The one you did with Austin and Carter.
Okay. All right.
That was good.
Would you ever be in a main channel video? Or are you more of your podcast? You can be an occasional podcast guest.
I mean, for the right video, I would, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Megan's back there fist pumping. No, I don't know. I would do the podcast again for sure, but I don't know if I would be in a main channel video.
Yeah.
I mean, like we said at the beginning, I'm not really the kind of person who wants to be... I'm not you. I don't want to be out in front of the camera all the time. I'm happy to come on and talk and just hang out. But I don't know if a main channel video is in the cards for me.
Yeah. Well, it's nice having you on the podcast in the occasional vlog, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing I want to talk to you about before you go. Well, two things. First, you're engaged.
Yeah.
You're planning a wedding.
Yeah.
How is that going?
Notice the difference in the inflections there.
Yeah. Yeah. People love wedding planning. I love wedding planning. How's it going?
It's fun. I mean, I thought it would be a lot more fun than it was.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, I'm a planner. right? Yeah. I mean, we're planners. And I'm the kind of person who I was so excited about getting to plan every single thing. And it's weird, right? Because I'm a guy, and typically gender norms say the woman is supposed to be so much more excited by that. But in our case, Megan does not care about like 80% of it.
Right.
I mean, she wants it to be beautiful and she wants everyone to be there. But right.
But I feel like she's fine with you doing everything.
Yeah, she's happy to just let me do a lot of the planning.
She's nodding.
Yeah. So we have our venue, which was definitely the hardest part, which Megan was a big part of. Getting the venue and the date was the hardest part. And then we have a coordinator, and we picked up a caterer a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's exciting. Yes. The food tasting is so fun.
Yeah. I mean, we only tasted with one dude.
Yeah, but still, you go and you try the different things,
yeah,
right?
No, it was fun. It was really fun. We still have to get decorations and officiant, like rentals and stuff. Just kind of the smaller things. But we have the big things done with, which is great. And we have 7-ish months to figure all that out. So we just got our save the dates yesterday.
Yay.
So we'll be sending
Am I invited?
Are you
Sit down.
Yeah, I'm a bridesmaid. But I didn't get an invitation yet, so...
Yeah, you're supposed to get an invitation 7 months in advance.
I'm very excited for the bachelorette party.
I'm very concerned for the bachelorette party.
Why?
Because I remember your bachelorette party, which I became a part of.
Yeah, because Megan's feet were hurting, so she asked you to come bring her shoes, and then you picked us up and drove us to the next bar.
Yeah. Yeah, the next bar. That's where I took you guys. And I ended up with
some adventures.
I ended up with little penis glitter things in my car for like months.
Confetti.
I couldn't find them all.
People get in your car.
People get in my car. Jordan, what are you into?
Penis confetti?
Yeah.
Oh, but yours is going to be fun.
I hope
We're going to have fun at the bachelorette party. I'm very excited. Overall, are you more excited for the wedding or for the wedding planning to be over?
Oh, definitely the wedding.
Yeah.
For sure.
You guys are going to have a fun wedding.
Yeah.
You guys are fun people.
Well, we have a lot of young friends who are... sometimes too much. I would say definitely too much fun.
Hey, not just the young... Mom and Dad took offense to that when you said that. Mom and Dad were like, what? We're going to be tearing up the dance floor.
They're the right kind of fun. I'm saying we have friends who are the wrong kind of fun sometimes. Like, too much fun.
Okay.
Which is why we're only doing beer and wine.
That's what we did. I think that's probably the biggest advice I would give to people wedding planning.
Yeah, it's cheaper too.
It is. Second thing I wanted to ask you about. Last thing before we end the podcast. What was your first impression when you met Steven? And did you ever go into protective older brother mode?
When did you meet Steven? Was that after cardiac arrest or before?
Oh, way after.
Okay.
Because you were already in college. It was my senior year.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you guys were together for a while before I met him.
Mm-hmm.
He would come around sometimes, and I just wouldn't really interact with him all that much.
And whenever I dated guys in high school, you just pretended like they didn't exist. You weren't mean. You just...
I mean, because I just knew, like, they're not sticking around. I did. I mean, yeah. Look, Steven was a great guy, and I didn't get the chance to really get to know him until later on when I realized you guys were going to be serious.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I saw it is why... And this was a terrible approach. I would recommend nobody do this. But I thought, why get to know this guy if he might not be here in a couple of months?
Right.
But after a year and a half, started to see him more often. And I started to, you know, try and get to know him better. And I realized he's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
And he's a complete geek.
Yeah.
Which I was really happy about. Because, well, geeks are typically not super mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven's the nicest guy. He clearly cares about you more than anything, which was the most important thing for me and for all of us.
My heart. That's really nice.
What?
That was just
cute. I mean, the most important thing to us is that you're happy and you're with somebody who loves you unconditionally, which is clear with you and Steven.
And what was your first impression of him?
I think the first time I met him, he was wearing cargo shorts and an R2-D2 hat.
Sounds like Steven.
And a Pebble watch, which I liked his Pebble watch. But I thought, has this guy ever dated anyone before my sister? Which was probably a mean thing to think because I had never dated anyone before Megan.
Oh, you admitted. now. You used to pretend like it wasn't, like you dated people before her.
Well, I never like dated. Earlier on in college, I would have flings, but never full on relationship.
Yeah.
I waited for the right one.
Oh.
What was your first impression of Megan?
Well, so we met Megan at my little brother was in Beauty and the Beast. And our whole family was going to see it, and it was at this amphitheater, so you have, like, a picnic before. And Jordan, for, like, 6 months before this, had been texting me about every little girl problem. Oh, just no.
I had a lot of girl problems
you had
year.
So many girl, and you would text me, no one at the school understands me.
What can I say? I just had a lot of girl problems, you know what I mean? Sometimes it'd be like that, you know?
He would text me and be like, oh, no one at the school understands me. All of these girls are so shallow, and I just want someone who wants to have real, meaningful conversations. And I'd be like, Jordan, it's fine. You'll get through it. La, la, la. And then he started dating Megan, and he was, like, so, so into her so quick. And so he would always text me about it. And the rule was he would tell me someone's Instagram, but I was not allowed to follow them. Mm-hmm. Until they were officially dating, and he had never officially started dating someone.
I think you creeped like 3 or 4 Instagrams before I let you follow.
Oh yeah, I creeped a lot of them. Never followed though. And then Megan, the day before this, we're going to Austin show. He goes, "Hey, Megan's coming tomorrow," and I said, "Does that mean I can follow her on Instagram?" And he said, "Yes." So I knew it was real. But then I met Megan, and I thought she was really cool, and she seemed like really chill, and that was the big thing for me. I knew you needed someone who was chill, laid back, friendly, but also would call you out on your BS. Mm. And I think Megan hits that to
Why
a
do
T.
you think I needed somebody who was chill?
Because you grew up with me and you hated me. And I was so loud.
Hate is a strong word.
Okay.
I think anyone that grew up with you in the way that I did would have been annoyed with you quite often.
I was also annoyed with me, Jordan, because I did suck and I knew that I sucked.
Yeah.
So then you would say things.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yes, I also agree with you.
Yeah.
I also suck.
Made it hard. It made it hard. I was annoyed with you internally, but externally I tried to be like, oh, you're great. I love you so much.
Love you too. Yeah. But when I met Megan, I instantly liked her as a person. Like if I had met Megan outside of you dating her, I would have been like, oh, this is a really cool girl. Like,
which is interesting because you guys are so different.
Are we that different?
You guys are really different.
Megan, are we that different?
I'm not a YouTuber. I don't like the camera.
That's true.
But I think we like...
But, like you fit in with my friend group.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you get along with all my friends.
And we're, like, kind of, like, not... Like, we can still have fun in, like, different ways.
Right.
And girls can't have fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we're both pretty active, I would say.
Right. And we're both, I feel like you're like low key a gossip and I'm a high key a gossip. So we always gossip about things together.
Megan's a super gossip.
But she's low key about it because she's so chill. You wouldn't think
you,
that.
You see the low key part.
But I.
Can we expose you?
I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to say no.
TMZ.
Exposed. But I met Megan. I thought she was really cool. I liked her as a person and I also really liked her for you. And as I got to know Megan more, I realized how much you guys complement each other. And I think the perfect example of a good relationship and a good marriage is two people who fill in the gaps that the other person is missing. And I think that's what makes our parents' relationship so great. I think that's what's made Steven and I have such a successful marriage so far. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes you and Megan such a strong couple, is it's two people who fill in the gaps where the other person is maybe lacking. So,
yeah.
I liked Megan. I liked her for you. And I'm so happy you're getting married.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I took their photos on the day they got engaged.
Yeah.
It was so nice.
Yeah.
I was so happy to be included.
I know. That's why I included you.
I feel like you did it more for me than like the fact that you wanted pictures.
I definitely wanted pictures and video, but I knew it meant a lot to you.
It did mean a lot to me. But I'm also very sentimental.
Yeah.
And so are you. You're a soft boy.
Yeah.
You're very much a soft
boy.
We
all are. Our whole family is.
We're a bunch, except mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom's tough.
She's like the definition of the hardest. Like, she's just so hard.
Yeah.
Like, not in a bad way.
No.
But I don't think she is nearly as emotional as the other four of us.
Oh, yeah. I'd say Dad's the most emotional. Mm-hmm. Then Austin.
See, we've had this debate
a million
times.
Then you, then me, then Mom.
You just slipped that in there. We've had this debate so many times on who's more emotional.
And we could keep going on, but the camera's about to die, and I don't want to have to put another battery. So this is where we're going to end the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah, love you too.
So glad that you came.
Yeah.
And I'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.